Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. Men's Tea Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway, now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that. We're going to get to some winners and losers from week two in just a few moments. But before we get to that.
Are you encouraged? Can I ask a quick question? I'm sorry. Are you encouraged that Steven was like, oh, absolutely, we think Jake Ferguson's going to be back but for the Ravens?
Oh, game. I'm encouraged for that.
There's a lot of things to not be encouraged.
I don't know what the solution is for the lack of defensive tackle and the fact that you got destroyed on the edge.
Sure.
I have no clue what their solution is going to be. Yeah. But yes, to get Jake Ferguson back, Kevin, that kind of answers a question I asked earlier, which was, where's the second dynamic player coming from?
Yeah.
And he does, and Ferguson does set the tone for gritty, aggressive play. He's one of those kind of, Jerry will tell the story multiple times this year when it comes to Jake Ferguson. You know, he walked up to him one day and he said, how you feeling? He said, dangerous. And you'll hear that story multiple times. And that is a reality when it comes to Jake Ferguson. He's a Dak protector, and he wants to fight for his team. So, yes, I am happy to see that he's going to be back out there, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Still baffled by the fact that they didn't expect that or see that coming.
Yeah.
The story, though, that I just love. I think it's hilarious. And, Mike, when you were playing baseball, did you ever get so nervous that you threw up on the field? Did you ever have a moment like that?
No, but the nerves are real.
Okay.
I was Jacob DeGrom was getting interviewed the day before he pitched, and he's like, man, I'm nervous. And Evan Grant was trying to tell him, no, you're not. And I'm like, Evan, like, there's literally nothing in my life. And I hate saying it because it sounds like, oh, what about this? What about that? What about all of these things? There's nothing in a professional athlete's life, if they make it that far, that will ever give you that nervousness,
yeah,
that adrenaline rush, that feeling leading up to the moment. Now, once you get out there and start performing, you have to use that as a positive. If it can become a negative and, you know, and cause you to not perform well. But I never got to the point where I felt like I was going to throw up because of the nerves.
All right. And my son Carter just started football, and he threw
big
up
game tonight.
He threw up a little bit of exhaustion and also got hit in a certain spot. But he did in his first practice. Since then, though, he's loved practice. Well, Malik Willis, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers in place of Bryce Young. Jordan Love.
Bryce Young got benched somewhere else, Corey.
In place of Jordan Love.
He's going to have to stand up on the bench if he's going to
watch.
All
right, I get it. He's short.
Malik Willis refused to throw the ball on a third down play. This is Matt LaFleur after the game discussing that moment.
I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center thrown up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation and it's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
I hope it was a handoff.
That's a great point right there. He probably didn't appreciate that.
He snapped the ball, Malik Willis. I don't know if he looked down and was like, there's puke all over this thing, or if he just noticed. Oh, my God. He noticed that it was a little slippery. I don't know
exactly
what he was dealing with there, but he kind of got back, and then he just takes off running and is like, I'm not throwing this thing because it. So I didn't. I'm sorry. When I saw this story yesterday, I didn't expect for it to get me like this.
Can I ask you this? It sounds like you didn't, and I didn't either. Is there video of it?
There is.
There is video.
I'm not going to find it. I'm not searching for that. I don't want to see a person do that because I don't like seeing people throw up.
Fair. I feel like most people are like that.
What's the line?
Okay, but I don't.
What's the line from Four Christmases when Vince Vaughn the baby pukes?
You know, and he's like, fact, I've not seen that movie.
I'm gonna do it too.
We were in Delaware. And man, oh man, I don't know what happened, but we were at the stoplight and this car, like two cars in front of us to the left, this person opened the door and it just all came out. Shut the door and Jess like, oh, that's so gross. 3 seconds later, opened the door back up again. Like you would have thought that person had eaten like 8 meals with the amount of stuff that came out of them. And then guess what? The light turned green and they just drove off.
Where's the worst place to throw up?
Okay, can I tell you one more story? On my mom's carpet. Now, I learned this when I was a kid. This is a true story. She knows this is a true story. So I was like crawling to the kitchen from my room. I felt terrible. And
like when you were a kid, you were how old?
Probably like 8.
Okay,
seven.
Gotcha.
And so I just was like felt terrible. And I don't think I had gotten to the point in there where you know like, hey, I'm probably going to throw up. And so I was like crawling into the kitchen. I tried to tell my mom I don't feel good. And I just started to throw up. And I was still technically like in the dining room. And she goes, can you just move up a little bit? Because she wanted me to get on the kitchen floor. Yeah, where it would be 100%. Significantly easier.
When our dogs throw up, I'm just like, can't you just
compare me to your dogs?
On the hardwood floor. You're just like, please do it on the hardwood floor. That is so easy to clean up. On the carpet, it just, and you have to dab it and then, you know, spray it and let it kind of soak up and then dab it. And you're like, if you would have just thrown up on the hardwood floor, everything would be a lot easier.
I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't really think that through as a little kid.
Yeah. There was a night Carter came in and gave us blue spaghetti because he ate a bunch of Sour Patch Kids and spaghetti.
What?
They're the strings, the Sour Patch strings or whatever. They were all the blue ones. And I was like, oh, man. Well,
what a segment. Huh?
He refuses to eat spaghetti now. All right, let's go on to the winners and losers.
Segment with weed.
Winners and losers from
we didn't really need to separate these two.
Week
segments.
Two of the NFL. Winner, the Packers quarterback room. Except for Malik Willis having to take the snap of the vomit ball.
Right.
But Jordan Love goes down. Green Bay's season looks like it's going to fall apart, right? And Malik Willis actually throwing the ball with confidence, getting immense support. What did he throw, 14 times in this game?
And he threw a touchdown.
And threw a touchdown, and they get their first win. So that is a winner right there. Losers, the Jaguars' entire offensive setup. It is not looking good for the Jaguars right now, guys.
Sorry, Mike.
It's over.
Oh, no. It's only two games in.
You can't fire the quarterback. You just gave him a new contract, but you can fire old Peter. Doug Peterson.
I didn't know that his nickname was Old Peter.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you this. How many of the, quote, nicknames that Mike gives people along the way do you think are actually the accepted nicknames?
I don't know.
3%?
I don't think I've ever heard anybody call Old Peter before either.
He says all kinds of weird stuff like that all the time, though.
Old Scooney, right? I mean, that was how we got Old Scooney.
Yeah. I was on the plane and saw, like, on Barstool or whatever, like, it's just Trevor Lawrence in the post-game press conference goes, we suck. And I'm like, at least he's honest. At least he knows. Ooh. And I don't know this. I don't know the Khan family. We've interviewed.
Yes.
But I would strongly consider firing Doug Peterson next week if it's this bad. And I'm not saying it's his fault. It might be all Trevor Lawrence's fault.
But you can't change that
but I
now.
Can't change that. And so if I've invested $55 million a year with a lot of guarantees in there where he's my quarterback for the next 3 years, like it or not, and obviously I don't like it with the, you know, being a guy who thought he was going to be really good. Is I think you have to fire the guy who's put this offense together and go, can I get another guy to simplify this for him, to get the most out of this? Because you are making him the worst version of Trevor Lawrence anybody ever thought. Whoever doesn't like Sean, he doesn't like any quarterbacks, right?
Right.
So Sean Sharif doesn't like Trevor Lawrence, thought he was horrible at Clemson, was never going to be good, and really wanted to, I have no clue. But you could have never guessed he was going to be this bad.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, not at all.
And so at that point, if you're the Khan family, you go, hey, we're getting the worst version out of a guy who we believe in and we thought was a franchise-changing quarterback. We hired Hands Magoo, Fingers Magoo to start off. Worst hire.
See, that's not an accepted nickname. I think it's very clever and funny, but nobody called Urban Meyer Fingers Magoo. They go, oh, coming up next, Fingers Magoo fired in Jacksonville. That didn't happen.
Every once in a while when we refer to him, Michael go, you know, no, the finger. He'll just call him the finger.
Because he was just like, whoop.
And so the worst hire ever. So his first year, he has a horrible coach. So they get Doug Peterson, who won a championship in Philadelphia. And it looked like, hey.
Fixed it.
Made the playoffs. Beat the Chargers. Lost in the second round. But we're on our way. And then last year, they didn't do good in the bed. We said we have to change the way we say it. So
I'm sorry. Was that for Urban Meyer or the Jets?
He wasn't in bed at the time.
He was on a bar stool.
Yeah. Sports.
Oil check.
So at this point, I do think Doug Peterson.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And to me, he's on the hottest seat in the NFL today.
I got you. That's a great part of this conversation. Winner, the Saints NFC South chances.
Dude.
I mean.
They're good.
Tampa looks pretty good, too. Like, they look like they could hang in games, but the Saints are blowing people out of the water.
And One thing I know, you blow out the Cowboys, you're a good team.
Yes. Usually it's true.
There's a lot of times, Mike, where I would be like, come on, you're right. Like, that's a real reality with the Cowboys. It's redundant there. But the reality of the Cowboys is they're a good team. And so if you blow them out, you're better than good. And you did something that beat that team. Cowboys have not shown or proven they can be a great team or one of the elites. And that's why, Kevin, that was one of the reasons I was like, this Saints team isn't as good as you. That's why you should be able to win.
And the thing that's going to be tough is obviously this week's game is going to do nothing to disprove the people who feel that way. Because if you beat the Ravens, now the Ravens are going to be 0-3 and you're going to be like, oh, you beat an 0-3 team. Yeah. So like, just keep stacking up wins. And don't worry about changing people's minds, because that's not going to happen until January.
The loser, the Panthers rebuild. Kevin, we've talked about Bryce Young.
He got benched for Andy Dalton
today. That is something we just learned. So there is another loss for them. Winner, Baker Mayfield's comeback journey. He's on fire right now.
Let's go to cut number 20. That was really loud. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's not ready.
Oh, on first down, Mayfield looking down the sideline. He's got Godwin again inside the 10, and he'll walk it in for a Tampa touchdown.
They beat the Lions.
Yeah, it was
pretty impressive.
Their defense was really good, too. It kept them in that game. That's a team. Baker on that team gives them a fighting chance. They give him a fighting chance each week, too. And so Baker Mayfield, Kevin, you asked last week, he is a good to even a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that because he wasn't great this week either, but they had a fighting chance and they came out on top in this one. Loser, Will Levis's job security, or Will Levis, as one caller said earlier, and I love it. And I think he did it on purpose too, just so we would know that one. But Levis right now, second year quarterback, probably going to lose that starting gig, and his coach thinks he's an idiot. His coach was like, hey, you're a dummy. Winner, the Vikings.
Yeah.
They spoiled that for the San Francisco 49ers. Justin Jefferson is absolutely, absolutely on fire. Loser, John Harbaugh's crunch time track record. Right now, Kevin,
I could see that.
The Ravens have been notoriously poor at closing out double-digit leads under John Harbaugh, and they're still talented, but they have to prove themselves.
I think all but one of their regular season losses last year, they had a double-digit lead.
Yeah, and they had a double-digit lead in this game, too, and Davante Adams and Gardner Minshew went nuts. So that's pretty impressive there. And then lastly, I don't know who's the winner and who's the loser here, but I saw on Facebook moments ago, there is something called Oreo Coke Zero, and Oreo Coke Zero sounds absolutely terrible. Now, whenever I do want to point out,
put it in Pepsi. They need to change that flavor.
Whenever I said this, Alec Medford said that he tried one this weekend.
Shut your mouth.
Y'all know how much I hate Oreos.
I do.
Alec, do you want to try and sell this thing to people?
Yeah, I even recorded myself. Maybe I'll rip the audio trying it. It was surprisingly good. I can't even lie. Just think,
like chocolate?
Just think about Coke Zero. If you put it in a blender with two or three Oreos, hit blend, and got it to the same consistency. Like, they nailed the flavor. That was the thing. I thought it was just going to be like maybe like a cream soda kind of thing.
It sounds like you're describing a G-bag punishment drink.
Yeah, it kind of is. Really, but I promise
nobody
you.
Nobody wants to put cookies in soda. In milk, if you take a cookie and put it in milk, that sounds right.
And you know, it gives me like dessert wine vibes, something that you wouldn't want to have it all the time because it is a very unique and odd flavor, but it is a lot better than you would expect. They nailed the Oreo flavor. Like, it tastes like both the cookie and the cream. So I like it. Like, it's not something I'm going to drink every single day. I probably won't drink it again, but I enjoyed it. I honestly enjoyed it.
I can't do it. I'm sorry. I just can't bring myself to that.
It just doesn't sound, first of all, you know, I drink sodas and they're not good for you. So this doesn't sound good, so I don't want to take something that I know is bad for me that I shouldn't drink, that I do some.
But it's got zero sugar. So
I know.
Well, it did before you put the Oreos in there.
Yeah, you put Oreos in there. There's such a thing as zero sugar.
It still says zero sugar on it, so I don't know how
that works.
How
did they do that?
We took all the sugar.
Blended
Oreo cookie. Now, that's a good question. Although, for the record, Alec, I don't know if it's the best endorsement I've ever heard was, this is pretty good. I don't know if I'll ever try it again, though.
I'm just not a big soda person. That's the thing. Yeah, so like I was at the gas station getting an energy drink, and I saw that, and I was like, okay, I got to try this. This looks vile. And I tried it, and I was like, this is not vile. This is actually kind of good.
Alec, what do you think of the debate? I didn't get to hear your response.
Nope. You
and that's the
that
C block,
off air.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Coming up next, let's go around the NFC East with a game-winning field goal. A.J. Brown is out, and hey, at least the Cowboys have one good player. Lou next right here on The Fan.
And play action, Prescott back to throw, deep to the right side, Lamb. Made a man miss and running down the sideline. And Lamb's on the horse, and Lamb's in the end zone. Touchdown, C.D. Lamb, 65 yards. Boy, did they need that.
Boy, did they.
What happened next?
We got demolished in every sense of the word.
That's tough.
All right.
Live to fight another day.
It's a long season.
That's true.
There's already 15 games left.
All right. You guys ready to go across the NFC East? Always.
Oh, yeah.
Choose your own adventure. You want the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants, or the Commanders?
Who's in first place, Corey?
I guess the Eagles are.
E.
No. Stop it.
S.
No.
It's in the game.
All right. The Eagles.
You're just doing the EA Sports thing.
Okay,
Kevin.
But you could see how.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Okay.
This is Mike we're talking about.
All right. Next time we'll let it go and see what happens. All right. So the Eagles play the Falcons tonight on Monday Night Football. A.J. Brown was downgraded to out for tonight's game. So I wanted to throw this out there. Devontae Smith in week one, 7 catches for 84 yards. How much attention is he going to get both offensively and defensively tonight?
I mean, tons of it. But as we discussed a little bit last week, Kevin, Barkley, significant importance there, right?
I'm sorry. You were making a great point.
Is Saquon Barkley eligible to play tonight?
Mike started to bark, and it really threw me off there.
He's playing tonight, right? Like, he's okay?
Yeah, he's playing tonight.
Okay. Then that, like, I understand Smith might be extreme covered. Barkley's the key for this offense this year.
Who has a better game tonight if you had to put money on it? Bijan or Barkley?
Barkley.
Probably Barkley. I would put my money. I think Bijan has a good game. But Barkley's, I think he's kind of like the Christian McCaffrey to the Niners.
Is this crazy? Are the running backs the key to the games tonight?
I do not think that that's crazy at all. And I'm really, but I actually, you know yeah, what?
You're right.
I'm going to argue that they're the best players offensively, but I think the key to the game is going to be Kirk Cousins, because I really want to see, like, hey, we were all worried about last week. How Dude, bad is it going to be? Or my, maybe not.
He looked old yeah. last week. He
How
looked
bad
old.
Did they want this game to start at noon today?
He what did they say? Trouble. 1-7, 1-6 in Monday night games.
Oof.
So it, like it's just he has one win. I know that.
Okay.
Maybe it's 1-9. I don't know. They even
either
let
way,
him
it's not good.
It could be 1-15.
Oh my god.
Nobody knows the answer.
Okay.
Will it make you feel better, Cowboy fans, if the Eagles lose tonight?
Yes. It will
make you feel worse if the Eagles win.
Because it'll make you feel like the NFC South is the dominant division now.
Yeah, oddly, I'll be like, man, that division's just good.
What happened?
Dude, we shouldn't have been trashing them.
Yeah.
And Dalton's back in that division.
Andy Dalton. What a weird. As they've always said.
What a weird thing to say.
They're going
to
have fun.
You guys.
Play. They're going to play hard and play have some fun. Football.
You guys want to go with the Eagles? Excuse me. I'm sorry. The Giants, the Commanders, or the Eagles? You can see how I get thrown off with you barking, with Corey going, if they're red in the head. Like, you could see how I would be distracted.
Who won the division last year, Corey?
Cowboys.
That's right. And went all the way. Cowboys.
All right. For the Dallas Cowboys, I did my best. Okay?
Oh. There was not a lot to
there
talk about.
There were plenty of teams that didn't score 19 yesterday.
That is true. Your team was one of them. With 90 receiving yards yesterday, CeeDee Lamb passed Frank Clark for 7th on the Cowboys' all-time receiving list. So there's
the
that.
The defensive end?
No, not, it's different. Frank Clark. Is
the guy who ran for 3 yards a carry for 26 years.
Is that Frank Gore? Yeah.
The guy who has the New Year's thing
That's
every year?
That's Dick Clark. He's dead.
And when you guys, last time I was on this show, you talked about Josh Jacobs. See, we're doing football talk. And we both, Corey and I, were like, we're just not big fans. It's not he's a bad player. You know who he is? He's Frank Clark. I mean, sorry, he's Frank Gore. He's Frank Gore. Like Josh Jacobs,
I don't know
if he's going to last a long time. He probably won't. Frank Gore, you got to give him credit for the longevity. But to me, Josh Jacobs, in my mind, reminds me a lot of Frank Gore. At the end of the year, he's going to rack up yards, but you're never going to be impressed by it.
Yeah.
151 yards yesterday for Green Bay on 32 carries. That's 4.7, no touchdowns.
All of it.
But he carried for 151 yards yesterday. And
yeah. And that's good. He's good. I just am never like, man, did you see that Frank Gore, Josh Jacobs run? No. Boring.
Brandon Aubrey made 4 field goals in Sunday's game. He has 8 field goals thus far through 2 games, which is tied for the franchise record with, you're usually pretty good at this,
Raphael Septien.
A little later.
John Jett.
Richie Cunningham.
Oh, yeah, man. Great producer and director. Oh, happy days.
That is the fictitious character that he played. That is Ron
Dallas,
Howard.
Dallas Bryce. Bryce
yeah, he
Dallas
met up with the Fonz
Howard.
Lately.
Richie Cunningham was
I
what I was getting at.
I remember Richie Cunningham. In fact, I'm already forgetting. Who was the guy that was really good at kicking, and then we were over at the Omni in downtown Dallas, and we released him, and I was really shocked, and I thought everybody was joking, and I asked
Dan
you,
Bailey?
Kevin. Dan Bailey. Thunder Dan Bailey.
Also, not a good sign for the Cowboys. Alvin Kamara is the 5th player in the Super Bowl era to have multiple games with 150-plus yards from scrimmage and 4 or more touchdowns.
Really?
He accomplished that now by tagging on another one with the Cowboys.
He got another touchdown?
Against,
can you imagine?
No, he had 4 touchdowns.
Can you imagine how mad Emmett Smith would be if Kamara got to play the Cowboys every week and had over 100 touchdowns in one season?
Yes, very mad, I believe.
What's 6 times 17?
102.
Oh, my God. That's like receptions in a year.
That would be very impressive.
That would be his touchdowns. We'd shut him down. We'd figure it out.
You guys want to go with the Commanders or the Giants next?
Just think if the Cowboys would have had bad practices this week, what it would have looked like. I'm going to go with the Commandos because they got a big W against those Giants.
Cut number 15. Here's how it sounded.
From 30 yards out for a win. Seibert, two steps to the left. Way asks if he's ready. Tyler Ott is the snapper. Way turns, gets the snap. It's down. Kick on its way. It is up. And it is good! Washington wins 21-18!
Now, all of Washington's points came via Seibert, who kicked 7 field goals. This is his first game with the Commanders ever. The previous franchise record was 5. He came in, first game, kicked 7. Ooh. That's how they got their 21 points.
I just want to point out, who was one of the Cowboys coaches when they found Brandon Aubrey? Dan Quinn. Mm-hmm. And who's the Commanders coach?
Dave Campo.
No, Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn's the Commanders coach. So, can we say that Dan Quinn knows how to find a kicker?
Heck
that,
yeah.
He does. That he does. Now, that is Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. I hate that I get all of your references straight
Dude,
away.
Dude, she was in a Bond movie. Oh, and I don't know. God. It was he was in Jamaica, I think. Mm. And I was like, who is this? And then I found out it was Dr. Jane Goodall. And Jane Seymour. What? Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Is Jane Goodall the one who talks to the monkeys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They were kind of like a knockoff
of
the Beatles.
Live with them. No, not the band, the monkeys. Shut up, all of you.
Hold on. I got to find out what Bond movie it was. It was Live and Let Die, 1973.
Can you imagine the game against Washington and Dallas and all the field goals that are going to happen this year?
Well, the other thing I was going to tell you about Washington is they had a whole bunch of brown spots on their field.
Ooh, they went hog wild.
And the Commander spokesperson said that there was 3 irrigation heads that malfunctioned, and they had to repair and alter the aesthetics.
They should rehire the guy they fired to bring back and tell him it went well. Now they're telling the truth. The other guy was a liar.
That's probably a great point, I guess. By the way, for the Commanders, Brian Robinson ran for 133 yards. That's good.
No touchdowns.
That is less good. It was the first time Washington has had a rusher go above 100 yards since 2021. So the last 2 seasons,
Alfred
they've
Morris,
been bad, man.
Nothing.
Was it Alfred Morris? Or I don't think it was.
John Riggins.
No, not John Riggins. Clinton Portis.
You guys miss me?
Do we know who that running back was?
Heck Kevin? Yeah.
You know what? For the sake of this conversation ending, I'm going to say it was John Riggins.
It wasn't John Riggins.
It probably
Riggins.
Was. I don't know.
Antonio Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
It was Antonio. Gibson.
I really thought for sure you were going to say old Gibby and just quit giving a damn at all.
Yeah. He used to be the guy that was the lead singer for the Bee Gees.
No. That's...
That's San Antonio.
That's Barry Gibbs. Stop whatever you're about to say. All right, let's go to the Giants. I don't need any feedback on any of these things. Graham Gano left the game with a hamstring injury for the Giants. He did not return. Whatever you're showing me on your computer,
picture
I'm not
Jane
looking
Seymour.
At.
I just was trying
okay.
to...
All, let's talk about Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers was targeted 18 times. He caught 10 passes for 127 yards and a touchdown. He tried. All other Giants pass catchers had 6 receptions for 51 yards. Malik Nabers is the youngest player in NFL history to have a 10-catch, 100-yard, 1-touchdown game. He defeats the record of, I'm not going to bother, you're not going to guess it, of Gern Nagler from the Chicago Cardinals in 1953. So Malik Nabers surpasses that record. And if you tell me you were going to guess that, I'm going to call you a liar.
Did something happen in 1939 on this show today?
On this show?
Did we reference 1939?
I wasn't alive in 1939.
Yes, that's when Texas A&M won the national championship, and you go before World War II.
That guy was alive to see it.
That is wild. Malik Nabers. There were a bunch of wide receivers in this year's draft that I was excited about. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. was one that you were like, that dude.
Yes.
But Malik Nabers was the next one that I was like, he might be the best. He might be the best one in this draft, but he went to Daniel Jones, and I was like, oh, it sucks.
Daniel Jones. What a mistake.
Well,
everybody knew it.
I know.
Everybody knew it, except for the person who signed Daniel Jones.
This will really hammer home that point, even though I know he's been hurt some in this time. Devin Singletary ran for a 7-yard touchdown in the first quarter. That broke the streak for the Giants. They had gone 27 straight games without scoring a touchdown on the opening drive.
Are you kidding me?
So they broke that streak and still lost. For the KNC masterpiece.
From the 214 from a Black and Gold B, he said, dang, I was just texting that name in before you said it, Kevin.
Lies, lies, lies.
You don't know that.
Coming up next.
The show's already over, huh?
How could it be there?
Man, I know you feel like it went by fast. I have a different experience to share with you.
Tomorrow we get to do it all over again.
His truth is different than yours.
Yeah,
today.
My truth is different.
It's just called an opinion or
coming
a
up next.
It's not truth. Let's stop changing that word.
Why are people encouraging Mike? Oh, yeah, Mr. Gibbs, fake Dr. Pepper. No, that's Mr. Pibb. Hey. And another person, old Gurney. No, I have one mic. That's enough. I don't need more.
I see the YouTube. Text in. How great was this show today?
Coming up next.
We didn't give up 44.
Let's chit-chat with those fellas. From the G-Bag Nation.
245.
Yeah, from the 214. I would love for y'all to do an entire show of these random thoughts. Just listen to the entire show. You'll be shocked at how many of them make their way in.
I feel
in.
Like we stay on track pretty good.
G-Bag next on The Fan. If you're looking to buy a brand new car, the place to go is Platinum Chevrolet in Terrell. No laughing matter. It is open. Brand new 80,000 square foot state-of-the-art facility. You can do test drives, purchases, and service right at your doorstep. I can confirm that whenever I talk about buying four cars. They brought two of them to my house. I love Platinum Chevrolet.
The Plat is what we like to call it, Kevin. How about a 2024 lease on the Equinox EV LT for only $399 a month, with only first payment due at signing. Take a dealer discount for $26.95 and get 10,000 miles per year for 3 years, or about $7,500 off a 2024 Silverado 25 ZR2 Bison. This truck is a beast, and GM Justin Rudd has them. Go see them right now. And always the new Silverados that are right there on the lot for you. You got clear upfront pricing. The price you see is the price you're going to pay. Shop online. Let them deliver your new Chevrolet. Visit PlatinumChevyTexas.com. Drive a little further to save a lot more. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
2:54 left, second quarter. Saints lead 21-13. Second and 10 at the Dallas 13. Carr under center. Handoff Kamara, left side. Look at all the room. 5-yard line. First down. Did he get in the end zone? Touchdown, Saints.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Awesome, Heggy. How are you?
It's been a tough show with just, there's a lot of Cowboy sadness out there, you know?
Well, I thought you guys did a great job, though.
Thank you very, very much for saying that. I appreciate it. I wanted to ask you, as if it wasn't already shattered, but when you look at what happened at home yesterday, and then the last home game in the playoffs, we can stop talking about like this unbeatable aura at home and all of that stuff for the Cowboys, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's what made yesterday more surprising for me. In fact, Brian, I heard you in the pregame show, and we might have that as a highlight for Two Guys, One Booth later, but you mentioned like kind of maybe having some Arizona vibes heading into this one. And I was like, yeah, weird stuff happens in Arizona, though. Historically, Cowboys are at home. Like, even if they were to lose, I don't know if it would go that way. But it certainly was a carryover in terms of just getting your ass kicked to what we saw the last time they played a meaningful game there against Green Bay. So, yeah, it's it is a different year, and it looks like that home cooking is not carrying over.
Yeah, I think it's run its course. You know, there was never a time where that was super sustainable, like you were going to go 7-1 or 8-0 at home, even when you have a good team. You know, those kind of things happen. But I don't know if you caught the show about in the 3:30, I flip-flopped and picked the Saints. So, you know, I think this is more
what
just kind of like
to that. Yeah,
there was just a discussion going on about their offensive scheme, you know, and
yeah,
I feel like we've seen it over the years when the Cowboys come across this, it's kind of their kryptonite. You know, they can't stop it. And what you're looking at is over a decade of building one style of defense, and it's game two for Mike Zimmer. He's going to need some time to cook. In order to change the culture and the bones of what this defense was really constructed to do for a long period of time.
Is it concerning that, like, there are a lot of teams that run this style or variations of this style? And, like, when we were talking with Steven earlier, he goes, hey, the Ravens are a lot different system. And I was like, I appreciate that, and I see what you're saying, but there's a lot of variations of what you saw yesterday in the league.
Well, it's the variations are not that much with the Ravens. They play a lot of 21 personnel. That's what you saw in that game yesterday. You know, the teams that play with the fullback and play with the H, the tight ends and the move guys and stuff, it's the Dolphins, it's the 49ers, it's the Saints, it's the Ravens, it's the Vikings. So, you know, you better get ready for, you're going to get the same type of personnel. You didn't handle the ability of handling a fullback, handling a move guy. It's not all about the motion. Sometimes they'll get you in, and what they did yesterday was really kind of very creative in a way of they got you to play base defense basically the whole game, you know. And so now that it takes Overshown off the field, it puts a rookie out there at linebacker. You didn't handle all that very well yesterday playing. So, but yeah, the Ravens are going to look at that and they're going to say, heck yeah, let's get in 21, 22 personnel. You know, two backs, two tight ends, and see if they're good enough to handle that.
Yeah, that's definitely a carryover from last year where those teams just completely bullied you. The teams that were running out the 21 or 12 personnel.
Yeah.
But you say they go into base and Overshown has to go off the field and the rookie has to be on the field. It doesn't have to be though, does
no,
it?
No, but that's
like, why are they doing that? That doesn't make any sense.
I'm not in the building, so I can't tell you that. But I mean, to me, it is one of those things where, you know, even when Overshown was on the field, the defensive tackles were so bad in the game
for sure
that it affected the linebackers. And Overshown wasn't perfect, and neither was, you know, Kendricks or neither was none of those. I mean, Kendricks overran the screen. I mean, everybody was going, gosh, you could have put Overshown on him, or you could have spied Mike in, and you're like, well, man, you had Kendricks over there in coverage, one of your best tackler, best space players, and all of a sudden they run a screen and the thing goes out the gate. So, yeah, they got matched up pretty badly yesterday.
Now, Corey asked this question earlier, and I know the answer is probably like somewhere in the middle, but you saw a blowout against a team that we thought was going to be good in your favor, though the NFL flips really quickly, and then a blowout against a team that I guess I hope is going to be good now. Which Cowboys team do you think they more closely resemble? The one where we were all stoked about Mike Zimmer in week one or this one in week two?
And I heard, I mean, Brad kind of disgustingly throw it over to y'all for the postgame show last night. And I heard, like, Wolchuk, you immediately, this team folds whenever they're faced with adversity. And so I feel like you're going to kind of lean towards that's what this team is, rather than they're the team we saw against Cleveland.
Yeah, they don't handle any type of adversity, getting down. I mean, if they are not able to build a lead and then the defense can settle in with basically no real pressure on them, this team has not proven that they can compete and beat a good football team or a team that is really on par with them. I mean, you can look at Detroit last year. Maybe that's the one that we could look at. But, man, you might have gotten bailed out of that one by the officiator.
Sure.
Right? So, to me, it's very hard to believe when they're in a situation against a team that has the ability to line up and run the football or that is able to spread you out and present motion. And I did believe, and I still do think Mike Zimmer is a very, very good coordinator, and I'm hoping he gets this corrected. But I can't have faith in picking them to win a game against a good opponent. And if things aren't going great for them, this team has shown no backbone or toughness or mentality to shake out of that and be able to bounce back.
I'm not trying to cause problems. I'm seriously asking. I attempted to ask Stephen Jones this question. Do we say Mike Zimmer is a good defensive coach, or is there any part of you that wants to say Mike Zimmer was a good defensive coach? Because you look at the last couple defenses he ran in Minnesota, those were tough too. And I sometimes do kind of wonder if the game or the scheme or however you want to put it passes somebody by.
No, I think it's just a matter of his last couple of years in Minnesota, the good defensive personnel that he'd had was sort of transitioning into being washed up.
Okay.
And, you know, now you're dealing with the remnants of Rod Marinelli and Dan Quinn, you know, and then the failure on Mozzie Smith, mm-hmm. you know, just get one good defensive tackle, please. It's really probably been since Jay Ratliff. Is there somebody I forgot in these last 12 years? I don't, you know, I think if Corey said it earlier, if you want it, to have a physical, tough defense, you got to have good defensive tackles. Everything is sort of the center of it in the heart of a physical defense.
And that's why I just want to say for the record, when we were at training camp, you had people that I thought were being more honest. And I thought you had people who were blowing smoke about how Mozzie Smith's going to kick ass right out of the gate this year. Now, it's only been two games, but I feel like that dishonesty about what was happening is showing.
Well, they were bad as a unit.
I agree with that.
The defensive tackles were bad as a unit, and they struggled. And what happens, they're not going to be able to play really good run defense if their linebackers get blocked.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem. You know, Micah at times played really well against the run, you know, but it wasn't nearly enough. But if they are going to continually get their linebackers blocked or have to deal with blocks, they're going to struggle playing run defense here.
I mean, when you're watching it on TV, you're like, wow, how is he getting to the edge and there's nobody there again? And then, you know, Brian was showing me just one clip before the show, and it's like, wow, this guard is all up in, I think it was Overshown's face.
Yeah.
How are you guys feeling about Monday Night Football tonight?
Excited. I'm hoping Atlanta can do something.
We got two guys that owe us a payoff on Friday that took the Ravens.
And we're going to be live at Shakerton's in Arlington.
That's a really nice place.
Yeah. Love that place.
So, yeah, we had Dawson and Eric are going to have to step up this week. But I've got it on the line tonight. I took the Eagles against Atlanta. So
go
we'll
Falcons.
See if, I'll see if I'm a...
Cousins has won a game on Monday Night Football in his career. A game.
It's a great point. So
he hasn't won very many, though. Only the one, actually.
And then
he's won a Sunday night game, too.
He's lost a bunch more.
We know that one.
Real quick, I'm just curious. Y'all surprised at all, short-term, long-term, that they're benching Bryce Young?
He's done.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I was, too.
I am. I feel like them, and you get a new, a rookie coach, basically, head coach, you would kind of figure that you were going to like be joined at the hip at the guy and try and get him through some of the rough patches. But, man, this seems very knee-jerky. But that's a knee-jerky organization, though. The way they operate.
I mean, some of the lowlights from yesterday were horrible. So maybe it's not the worst thing in the world to give him a couple of weeks off. I think that's probably their plan.
Okay.
Like, let's have him watch from this perspective, see if it can slow things down for him.
What do you guys got coming up on the program?
Mike's saying he needs to get taller is basically what he's to throw in there.
Yeah.
I said sit him up with the coordinator so he can finally get an overhead view of what's going on.
He is
on.
A short guy.
Maybe they could get him a mound back there, you know, see over
I
the
say
top.
Put lifts in his shoes. Like, give him 2 inches in his shoes.
Worth a shot. Have him go talk to Drew Brees, you know, the look through the face mask technique. Yeah. Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Yes. Mishota 520.
Nice.
Right. Do we have a McCarthy presser today?
I think it's at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, Mike. Yeah. McCarthy presser.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say flush it, Kevin.
No. Sit there and linger on this one.